story that we read was at a time just before Jesus was taken from his disciples at the end of the 40 days when he revealed himself to them before he ascended. But I want us just to wind the clock back 3 years from where we've just read. 3 years earlier, Jesus began his teaching and he borrowed Simon Peter's boat to teach the crowd just off the shore. When Jesus had finished speaking, he suggested to Peter that he put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Peter was skeptical. "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." And 3 years earlier, the catch was absolutely huge and the nets began to break with the weight of the fish. And Peter realized how special Jesus was. He says, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." But Jesus didn't go away. Jesus rather said to Peter, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to be catching people." Peter went on to follow Jesus as one of his closest friends. Along with James and John, he was part of that inner circle of Jesus' friends. Only these three witnessed the raising of Jairus' daughter. Only these three, Peter, James, and John, witnessed the transfiguration when Jesus became dazzling white on the mountain. And finally, towards the end of Jesus' life in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before Jesus was betrayed, it was Peter, James, and John who Jesus took a short distance from the other disciples while Jesus prayed his heart-wrenching prayer ahead of the cross. "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Not what I will, but what you will." And in spite of the fact that Peter was truly one of Jesus' closest disciples, that the stress of it all, everything that had gone on, the unexpected events were too much for him and he'd fallen asleep. Jesus had said to his disciples, "You will all fall away," but Peter wasn't having it. Peter said, "Even if all fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to Peter, "I tell you, Peter, before the morning cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter still isn't having it, and he insists emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never, ever disown you." But Jesus knows better, Peter better than Peter knows Peter. And the prediction of Jesus comes true. And in a courtyard by a fire, Peter denies knowing Jesus 3 times. First to a servant girl, and then to another, and thirdly to the wider bystanders. He even gets to the point where he's so stressed out by it all that he calls down curses and swears, "I don't know this man, Jesus." Probably it's not repeatable what he might have said. When Peter hears the cock crow, he remembers the words of Jesus. He recognizes his great failure and he breaks down and weeps. Now, Peter had no doubt heard what had happened. John and the women stayed around the cross while Peter was still nowhere to be seen. He would have heard how Jesus was crucified and buried in the tomb. And hopefully, the message was passed on to Peter, what the angel had said to the women, "Go and tell my disciples that I'm alive. Go and tell my disciples and Peter." He gets a special mention because Jesus recognized just how broken this man was. And perhaps Peter considered himself unfit to be a disciple, still stuck in that place of failure. So much for that call of Jesus on his life and the statement that from now on he'd be catching people. So much for that call that Jesus would build his church on the confession of faith that Peter made when he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So much for that change of name from Simon to Peter. Peter meaning rock. "And on this rock I will build my church," said Jesus. I suspect he may have thought he'd really blown it, yet Peter yearns for forgiveness and for acceptance. And so we're back to this story that we've read at the end of John's Gospel. Peter's going back to fish. He's going back to his old job, not for people, but for fish. You see, he knew how to fish, but it was a soul-destroying night when they caught nothing. And Jesus appears on the shore and he calls out, "Friends, have you any fish? Throw over the net to the right side of the boat and you'll find some." Why should these experienced fishermen take note of this strange stranger on the shore? But they chose to do what the man said. Perhaps there was something already reminiscent of that earlier encounter with Jesus that they knew they had to try it. And the nets were full, absolutely full, but this time not breaking. And when Peter realized that it was Jesus, he thought, "Forget the fish, I'm into the water." You see, his heart was still for Jesus. But was the heart of Jesus still for him, I wonder? On the beach after breakfast, Jesus calls Peter by his original name of Simon. I wonder what Peter thought about that. Yeah, no longer Peter the Rock. Has Jesus taken away the name he'd given me because of the mess that I've made? But Jesus knows what he's doing, and Jesus is rebuilding this broken man. And so Jesus says to Simon, "Do you truly love me more than these?" These. What could the these mean? Is Jesus asking Peter whether he loves Jesus more than his boat and his nets and the occupation of fishing? After all, that's what he's gone back to. Or is Jesus asking Peter whether he loves Jesus more than he loves the other disciples? You know, it's a challenge to us. Do we love the Lord more than we love our nearest and our dearest? It's a fair question. Maybe the ambiguity of the question caused Peter to ponder. But as the conversation with Jesus proceeds, the big question that Jesus is addressing becomes clear. Well, what about Peter's claim that he did love Jesus more than the other disciples did? You see, Peter had said, "Even if all fall away, I will not." Peter thought he was stronger in his devotion than the others to Jesus. "Even if this bunch give up on you, you can count on me, Jesus, when the situation gets desperate." And when Jesus predicted that Peter would disown him 3 times, he wasn't having any of it. "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." Now, psychotherapists and counselors often take clients back to distressing episodes of their life. It can be sometimes very painful in the moment, but bring about lasting transformation as the past is re-engaged with, reassessed, reprocessed, reappraised. Helps a person to move on, leaving past baggage behind. And some counselors use a more specialized technique called drama therapy, which can be very helpful in enabling people struggling with the impact of life events to move on. And in drama therapy, the essence of a past situation is recreated, and a person is invited to engage in the recreated scene, expressing their feelings as if they were back in the original hurtful scenario. And as the role play progresses, the person will often experience intense emotions as these past events are brought into vivid memory. And the role play can be completed, but this time with a different outcome. There are many variations on it. But very often someone is more able to accept that the past is past and find healing from emotional pain. Here I find amazing, I shouldn't be surprised, but Jesus is doing something very, very similar to counseling and drama therapy. Very, very modern things. You see, first of all, Jesus has set the scene with the huge catch of fish, reminiscent of that previous encounter of Peter with Jesus. And then on the beach, there is the glow and the warmth of the barbecue as Jesus cooks the fish. It's a physical reminder for Peter of that shameful night of denial as Peter warmed himself by the fire in the courtyard. And in his conversation with Peter, Jesus isn't trying to hurt Peter by asking him the same question three times. It isn't some kind of tit-for-tat repayment for the three denials, but it's helping Peter to move on from his feelings of failure. Jesus is letting Peter know that he's still up to the task that Jesus has called him to. In this exchange, we have two different words for love that are used. I don't speak the original languages, but I've read about this. There is agape, that love of God, that intense love that involves the will that's perfect, that is completely steadfast and true, whatever happens, that kind of love. And then there's the filio love, the brotherly love, the love of affection. And in the first two times, Jesus asked Peter whether he deeply loves Jesus with that true devotional love that involves the will of agape love, the kind of love that God has for us. Peter, do you love me like this? You know, do you love me with the love that you once claimed to have for me? And Peter responds and saying, Lord, you know I'm your friend. You know I have a brotherly affection for you. And this happens twice. And then the third time, Jesus, as it were, brings the conversation down to Peter's level and simply says, Peter, do you love me in that brotherly kind of way, with affection as a friend? And Peter gets upset. Lord, you know everything. You know I love you as a friend. Perhaps you can just begin to glimpse the sort of emotional impact on Peter. And Jesus isn't deterred by Peter's answers. He recommissions Peter. He firstly says, feed my lambs, and then take care of my sheep, and feed my sheep. Peter is to care as a shepherd to ensure that the young ones have enough spiritual food to eat. He is to care for the followers of Jesus. When Jesus, the good shepherd, is no longer with them, Peter is to step up and carry on the work of feeding God's people with the words of Jesus. Jesus is telling Peter that although he's denied him, there will come a time when he's able to fulfill his promise and to die for Jesus. I don't think I'd want to know that. Don't think that I would want to know that I'm coming to a sticky end. But God treats us all as individuals. And Jesus knew that it was important for Peter to be assured that he wouldn't fail again, that when the time came, he would remain faithful to the last, even to the point of death. And tradition has it that Peter was also crucified, but upside down, so there could be no comparison with the dying of his Lord Jesus. The last words of Jesus to Peter are, follow me. And Peter will follow. A few mistakes along the way, but Peter will follow all the way to his martyrdom. Jesus has brought healing to Peter. Jesus has restored to Peter the task that he was once given. He's reassured Peter that Peter will follow faithfully now to the end. But Peter is curious, and he's curious about what will happen to his friend John, also one of the inner circle. He said, "What about him?" And Jesus basically says to Peter, "Peter, mind your own business. What's that got to do with you? You follow me." And so as we come to a conclusion this morning, I just want to try and reapply some of this to us, to you and to me. Three very, very brief points. That wasn't the introduction to a long three-point sermon. Three very brief points. First of all, Jesus wants honesty in our relationship. Jesus doesn't want us to pretend. And there's that raw honesty in the exchange between Jesus and Peter. Before his denial, Peter implied that his love for Christ Jesus was God-like love, which could not be shaken. And yet Jesus was prepared to accept Peter's brotherly love for him as a friend. But you know, our love for God is always a response to God's love for us. It's doubtful whether we can ever achieve that powerful love that's anywhere near on a level with the love of God. Because our love is shaky sometimes. But it isn't our love for God that counts, it's our knowing his love for us. God's love is steadfast. John wrote in his first letter, "We love because he first loved us." So our love is a response to his love, and Jesus wants honesty in our relationship. And secondly, whatever mistakes we've made, Jesus wants to restore us to a close relationship. He still asks us to follow him, even if we've messed up, even if we've denied him in some way. He's still for us. However much you feel your devotion has been lacking in the past, Jesus calls us all to start following again. You know, I can imagine Peter having nightmares about that crowing cock. Every morning, as the cock crowed to announce morning, there would have been that reminder of his failure. But Jesus helps Peter revisit his failure. Jesus silences that nightmarish rooster. Jesus has taken Peter back to a painful place and brought healing to his deepest being. And sometimes we need to revisit things from the past. Sometimes we need to take things to God. Sometimes we need to get somebody to have somebody pray with us. Sometimes we need to go and see a counselor. We need to revisit sometimes so we can be released from the power of the things in the past that so often dog us, and so that God can pour in his healing. Whatever mistakes we've made, Jesus wants to restore us to a close relationship with him. And then finally, don't compare yourself with others. That's always a bad thing. We can say to ourselves, "Oh, I'm not as good as this person, I'm only." Or worse, we can sometimes think, "Perhaps I'm better than that person. I love Jesus more than they do." Or I've heard it said, "I prayed for more about this than you." How does anybody know that? "I prayed more about this than you, so I must be right." Or we might think, "How can they be a follower of Jesus and say this? How can they be a Christian and act like that?" Comparisons aren't helpful. The story of Peter demonstrates the danger of spiritual pride. Peter has, in essence, said, "I'm better than this lot. Even if they all desert you, Jesus, I will not." But Jesus says, "Never mind anyone else. You follow me. Never mind Jeff. Never mind any of the other leaders here. Jesus says, you follow me." For Peter, things were about to change dramatically. In a very short while, he was going to see Jesus ascend in glory, and 10 days later, he was going to be filled with the promised Holy Spirit that would give him the power to stay true in serving Jesus to the end. On the day of Pentecost, which we celebrate 6 weeks today, Peter would have the power to proclaim Jesus as Lord to the crowds. What a changed man. What a bold man now. No longer in his own strength, but in the power of God's Holy Spirit. The power of the Spirit that enabled Peter to stay true is ours today too. We don't have to wait another 6 weeks till it happens in the church calendar. That power is available to us today. Are we ready to receive? Are we ready to open our hearts again to him, that we may serve him in these days in which we live? Let's pray. So, Lord, we thank you for what you did in the life of Peter. We thank you for the way that you brought about transformation in his life. We thank you for the way in which you led him gently and brought him healing. Were you enabled to put his past failures behind him? Oh Lord, we confess that we haven't always followed you closely. Sometimes we've turned away for a moment or for longer periods of time. Oh Lord, won't you give us the assurance of your forgiveness? And we open our hearts to you, to your Holy Spirit's power. Come, Lord Jesus, that we may be able to serve you in these days. So help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.